from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast, Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I hope everyone had a relaxing Monday as much as humanly possible. Yesterday was also tax day. One of the funniest and I think one of the more kind of interesting aspects of tax day is the last minute, folks. I can't tell you how many social media posts I've seen across like different social media platforms last night of people saying, I'm looking for someone to do my taxes. I got to file my taxes. I didn't know today was tax day. Literally April 15th is that one day a year. You got to show Uncle Sam and report everything to Uncle Sam. And hopefully you've paid them just enough to keep their beak wet so that you can live your life. Nonetheless, that is what it is. All right, so we've got a packed show for all of y'all today. A lot happening for many cybersecurity practitioners. We're going to be talking about a few zero days, some vulnerabilities. We're going to look at some post-ransomware, post-data breach events that have been going on, including Change Healthcare and a Ukrainian ICS malware targeting Russia. And exactly what does that mean as we're seeing the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, which has kind of been, I'd say, hidden since Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. And then obviously over the weekend, the 330 projectiles launched from Iran towards Israel has obviously kind of kept some of the, you know, attention away from Russia and Ukraine. But Russia and Ukraine are in an intense battle. That battle is not only happening in the front of just traditional warfare, but also in cyber warfare. We'll talk about that. And what does that mean for practitioners and so much more. So let's go ahead and get started. I don't have my obvious traveling cup of coffee. I should have bought more Celsius yesterday because I did stop somewhere and get some, but I got enough for yesterday and I should have gotten some for this morning. I didn't. I apologize. Sorry. Coffee cup cheers. Let's go ahead, get the show rolling with our friends here over at Delana. Scrambling to patch a critical vulnerability after responsible disclosure was ignored for weeks, as it appears. On April 12th, Delana informed customers that it had started investigating a security incident and that there may be some service disruptions. The next day, the company clarified it's become aware of a critical authentication bypass vulnerability in their secret server SOAP API. They've initially prevented exploitation by blocking the impacted SOAP endpoints for secret server cloud customers. In addition, they released IOCs to enable customers to detect if they've been exploited at all. Later in the day, they announced releasing patches for both the Delania platform and the Secret Server Cloud. On April 14th, the company announced patches for Secret Server on-prem. Technical details of the vulnerability along with the proof of concept code were made public on April 12th in a Medium post by researcher Johnny Yu. Yu has been trying to responsibly disclose his findings since February 12th, including through the CERT Coordination Center at Carnegie Mellon University. But he's had little to no success, and apparently they ignored communication events or it fell between the cracks. I don't know. The company hasn't shared anything about it, and I'm not going to judge them because I'm assuming that, you know, there's a good excuse. And until we hear it, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because I'm familiar with the company. I'm familiar with leadership, and that does not meet the character of the people in the company is all I'm going to say. So, and I'll leave it at that. So there's been no evidence that any customer data has been compromised here, something to pay attention to. Obviously, reasonable disclosure is extremely, extremely important, and companies should be paying attention to it. On the other hand, if you're seeing something actually being exploited, you do want to shut off the rooftop, irregardless to the disclosure process. I don't know how you feel about that. Let me know in the comments. That'll be amazing. The Dutch chip maker Nexperia confirmed last week that attackers breached its network in March of this year after a ransomware gang leaked samples of the alleged stolen data. Nexperia is a subsidiary of a Chinese company called Wintec Technology. They operate semiconductor fabrication plants in Germany and the UK. They produce around 100 billion units, including transistors, diodes, MOSFETs, and logic devices. The Nijmegen I think so. I think that's what they say. Based company employs around 15,000 specialists and does about $2.1 billion in annual revenue. The company disclosed a data breach that forced it to shut down IT systems, launch an investigation. Nexperia became aware of an authorized third party access certain Nexperia IT servers in March of this year. They've taken some action and disconnected the affected systems from the internet to contain the incident, implemented extensive mitigation. Dunghill leak is apparently behind the attack. Liminev stolen around 1 terabyte of confidential data and leaked a sample of the alleged stolen data. A lot of it is, by the way, a lot of it is just in order to try to get them to pay a ransom, right? So they say they've got design and product data, including trade secrets, technical specification, confidential schematics, production instructions. So they say they've got a whole bunch of data there. We'll see how this kind of takes place here, and then we'll keep you appraised. But something to keep in mind is, you know, looking at a lot of these breaches and these ransomware where there's data exfiltration, if you've got sensitive data sitting somewhere on a server in some sort of database somewhere, some sort of file server you're storing stuff on, you may want to consider putting some sort of sensor on there to understand whether or not the data is moving. DLP there would be also very, very beneficial. Omni Hotels and Resorts is confirming that customer information was stolen in the cyber attack claimed by the Dixon Team ransomware group. The incident occurred on March 29th. It prompted Omni to shut down systems, which led to disruptions across the company's hotels and resorts. By April 8th, Omni had restored systems across all property. While Omni did not provide details of the type of cyber attack it fell victim to, the ransomware group has added the hotel chain to its leak site, claiming the theft of all records pertaining to Omni visitors from 2017 and onwards. Omni updated its incident notice to reveal that information of a subset of customers may have been compromised. They don't think it includes sensitive information like personal payment details, financial information, social security numbers, but it could include your name, email, mailing address, as well as select guest loyalty program information. So there's that as well. The Ransom Up Extortion Gang is starting to leak what they claim to be corporate and patient data stolen from the United Health subsidiary Change Healthcare. In what has been a long and convoluted extortion process for the company, this has been about a two-month experience for the team at Change Healthcare, and sympathies and strength and prayers are sent their way. Obviously, for many of us who've been in their shoes before, we understand the challenge, and a lot of times you hope it'll last you maybe, you know, a mere few weeks to a month. In this case, they've been going at this for nearly 2 months at this point. Black Cat kind of shut down their operation after they realized that they're likely going to be, you know, public enemy numero uno, given the extent of this breach. That brought up their affiliate Notchy, who came through and trying to do a double extortion on Change Healthcare. And obviously at this point, Change is, kind of fighting this as well. They've given them 5 days to pay an extortion demand, or the threat actors will sell the data to their highest bidder. And Bleepy Computer could not verify whether the leaked data was stolen from Change Healthcare. It does appear to belong to the company, but there's still some questions on its validity. Now let's go to what Clarity discovered in the Russia-Ukraine war here with a new analysis of a malware called Foxnet, F-U-X-N-E-T, a piece of ICS malware used recently by Ukrainians in an attack aimed at Russia's underground infrastructure company. The group named Blackjack, believed to be affiliated with the Ukrainian security force services, has claimed to have launched attack against several key Russian organizations. They've targeted ISPs, utilities, data centers, and Russia's military. They've allegedly caused some damage and exfiltrated sensitive information. They disclosed the details of an alleged attack aimed at Moscollector, a Moscow-based responsible company responsible for underground infrastructure, including water, sewage, and communication. Russia's industrial sensors and monitoring infrastructure have been disabled, they claimed. It included Russia's network operations center, their NOC, that monitors and controls gas, water, fire alarm, and many others, including a vast network of remote sensors and IoT controls. They've also claimed to use wiper malware to wipe databases, emails, internal monitoring, and data storage service, essentially returning the pill to the Russians that have been using that since the beginning of the war with Ukraine over 2 years ago. They've claimed to have disabled 87,000 87,000 sensors, including ones associated with airports, subway systems, and gas pipelines. They used Foxnet, which is Stuxnet on steroids, enabled them to physically destroy sensor equipment. They've used it to flood the RS-485 and M-Bus and is sending random commands to 87,000 embedded controls and sensory systems there. Foxnet at some point will make its way out. Clarity's analysis showed that the malware was likely deployed remotely. Once on a device, it would start deleting important files and directories, shutting down remote access services to prevent remote restoration, and deleting routing table information to prevent communication with other devices. It would then delete the file system and rewrite the device's flash memory, all very much within line with what Stuxnet did when it was deployed on the Iranian nuclear facilities there as well. Cybersecurity researchers have now discovered a renewed cyber espionage campaign targeting users in South Asia with the aim of delivering an Apple iOS spyware implant called LightSpy. The latest iteration of LightSpy, dubbed F Warehouse, boasts a modular framework with extensive spying features, according to the BlackBerry Threat Research and Intel team. There's evidence to suggest the campaign may have targeted India-based on virus total submissions from within its border. First documented by in 2020 by Trend Micro and Kaspersky, LightSpy refers to an advanced iOS backdoor that's disrupted via watering hole attacks through compromised news websites. And no surprise there, this is originating from China. It's targeting their regional adversaries, including India and many others. As the geopolitical climate gets hot, they're looking for other ways to do that. Cybersecurity vendor Cisco on Monday warned that attackers broke into an unidentified telephony supplier used to send Duo MFA SMS messages and stole log data that could be used in downstream attacks. They're saying that on April 1st, a threat actor gained access to a provider's internal systems using the provider's employee credentials. They illicitly obtained it through a phishing attack and used that to access and download a set of MFA and SMS message logs pertaining to your Duo account. More specifically, the threat actor downloaded message logs for SMS messages that were sent to certain users under your Duo account between March 1st and March 31st of 2024. They don't contain message content, but they did contain the phone number, phone carrier, country, and state to which each message was sent, as well as other metadata. And this could be used to significantly target those users and social engineer their way in. Juniper Networks last week published dozens of advisories detailing more than 100 vulnerabilities in Junos OS, Junos OS Evolved, and other products. The first one resolved 9 vulnerabilities in the open source data transfer tool, CURL, including 4 critical severity issues. 2 of the critical bugs were discovered in 2018 and 2 in 2023. The second and third deal with vulnerabilities in third-party software included in Juniper's network, Jonas CRPD, and Cloud Native Router. Patches were released for more than 80 bugs all in all. At least they didn't do it on Patch Tuesday, right? There's that. Get those systems updated. And on Friday of last week, the FBI warned of a massive ongoing wave of SMS phishing attacks targeting Americans with lures of regarding unpaid road toll fees. Since early March, the FBI's IC3 centers received over 2,000 complaints reporting smishing texts representing road toll collection service from at least 3 different states. While the mobile phishing campaign has yet to reach some U.S. regions, this can be explained by the fact that the complaint information collected so far by IC3 indicates the scam may be moving from state to state. So you want to pay attention to it. Pennsylvania was one of those victims, as well as the FBI didn't mention EasyPass, but they are likely next on that list. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back with a whole lot more tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your day. And most importantly, y'all, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.